Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet one more time. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 84. We're going to read this entire passage of Scripture. This is not a psalm of David. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah, as we can see at the title, the beginning. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12 of this lovely little song, or psalm as we call it. And we're going to study it out today and believe God's going to speak to us. So if you have your Bible, you can read along. If you do not, you can follow along on the screen. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 84, the sons of Korah penned it, and it goes like this. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Wouldn't that be an amazing place to be, that even your flesh was crying out for God? You know, so often we spend so much time, we have to suppress our fleshly desires, the fleshly nature, the things that are wrong. But the sons of Korah, they're saying, my heart is so engaged, so turned over, so surrendered, so changed, that even my flesh longs for the courts of God, for the presence of God, for the King of Kings. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts, it's better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen to that. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let us pray together this morning. Father, your word is so perfect. It's so powerful. And today, we need the word in our life. That's why we're assembled right now. This space of time, it's set apart. We've given you glory. We've given you praise. We've prayed. We've given. But Lord, right now, this is the time for your word. And I pray that your word would go forth in power. I pray that it would transform minds and hearts and motives and emotions. God, I thank you that there is nothing that is impossible with you. And so, Lord, I pray that the presence of God would fill this room as the word of God goes forth today, and that every mind would hear and know the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a sermon to you today that I've actually talked about before. It's going to come out a little bit different, I'm sure, but it's called The Road Less Traveled. The Road Less Traveled. And on Wednesday nights, we just started this past Wednesday night going through what we call the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And it's a teaching of Jesus that is in the midst, it's actually the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which are compiled in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And it's Jesus' longest discourse, his longest teaching. And in the beginning of that teaching, he starts by telling us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he gives us these 8, or some would say 9, blessed are. And he's teaching us about the blessed life. And this psalm actually reflects the attitude and the message that Jesus is communicating in Matthew chapter 5, because in our text, Psalm chapter 84, picking up in verse 4, it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And it goes on to say, blessed are. And so this is tying into Wednesday nights. And I'd like to invite you, join us on Wednesday nights if you'd like to, as we study and break down the word. It's powerful times. I believe that it's potent and it's real and it helps us in Christian living. And the Bible, as we look at it, it's full of keys of living a life that is blessed. Now, so many people, you're kind of, there's like two sides of the fence, or there's two camps, or there's two groups in the kingdom of God. There's people that are in the blessed camp, and there's people that are in the anti-blessed camp, right? And it's like, over here, it's like, it doesn't matter what you do. God just wants to bless you. You live however you want. Blessings coming your way. Provisions coming your way. And then you got this group over here, and they're like, God, that all that blessed stuff, it's garbage. It's all about sacrifice, and it's all about saying no, and it's all about... But I believe that there's somewhere in the middle ground that God wants us to live to realize the Bible wouldn't have the word blessed or blessing or blessed or blessed blessing or blessed in it 494 times if it didn't want us to get something out of it. Actually, I'm sorry, it's closer to 800 sometimes. 490 is just the word bless on its own. 892 times blessed, blessing, or blessed is in the Bible. You think God doesn't want us to live a blessed life? He gives us keys all throughout. In fact, not all of, but there's a chapter in Deuteronomy. I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's God speaking, you're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the country. You're going to be blessed in your going in. You're going to be blessed in your coming out. Your kneading bowl will be blessed. All these blessings. And there's 14 verses that he's talking about. I'm going to bless you in this. I'm going to bless you in that. And then there's like 40 verses of what will happen if we don't obey God. So I want you to get this. Blessing is connected to obedience. Yes, God wants to bless you, but it's not just a bless all, blab all, grab all, do whatever you want, and God's going to pour out blessing on your life. But I also don't want to subscribe to the camp or be found in the camp that says you're not supposed to be blessed. Listen, the Bible wouldn't be so clear. Jesus talked about blessed are. The Psalms talk about blessed are. It gives us keys on how to live a life that is blessed, happy, full, prosperous, filled with enjoyment. And that's my goal today, is to break down and explain those things to help you live in such a way. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he warns us about something. He says, there is a path that's broad and it leads to destruction. And a lot of people are going to live their lives on that path. In fact, he said, many will find that path. It's easy to find that path. In fact, as you look out at the world today, it's obvious to see that many are on that path to destruction. Yeah. But he said there's another path. There's a narrow path. And that path, it leads to life. And there's going to be few people that find that path. And that's why today I'm calling this road or this path that we're traveling on, because I want you to be on the blessed path. I want you to be on the blessed life. But it's the road less traveled. There's many people that are on the road to destruction. There's a road less traveled, and that's the blessed life, and that's where I want you to be, because unfortunately, very few people choose that narrow path. Very few people choose to live in such a way. Now, America, as you look at our nation as a whole, America is lacking blessed people. Now, that may seem crazy to you, but the word blessed in Hebrew and in Greek means happy. So really what I could say is America is lacking happy people. Yeah. We're not lacking people that are financially stable. We have tons of those, and I'll show you that in a moment. But have you noticed that when you go to the grocery store, you don't hardly get anybody to smile at you, right? Like, I remember when I was growing up that people always looked at a child and would at least smile at a child. Yeah. People won't even look at children and smile now. Why? Because they're not happy. They're not blessed. They're not on the narrow road. They're on the way that is leading to destruction. And they know, I'm not fulfilled. I'm not purposeful. I'm not happy. But I want you to know this today. If you call yourself a child of God, you should be living a blessed life. That's his purpose. That's his plan. It doesn't mean that nothing will go wrong. It doesn't mean that your plumbing won't back up at 8:30 at night when you're trying to settle down for the night and watch a little movie. It doesn't mean that your budget won't get a little tight from time to time and you're wondering, are we going to make it? Are we not going to make it? No, I'm going to look at the birds. I'm going to look at the lilies. I know that we're going to make it. It doesn't mean that you won't have disagreements with your spouse. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that you won't go through rough patches with your children. wondering, how did something that crazy come out of me? And you're looking at them going, what's wrong with you? Really, you should look at the mirror and go, what's wrong with you? It doesn't mean that those things won't happen. It means that in the midst of those things and so much more, he's with you. He's for you. And so you know, I'm happy even though the dryer just went out. I'm happy even though things aren't going the way that I want them to go. I'm happy even though, listen, some of y'all need this. I'm preparing y'all. I'm getting you ready. I'm happy even though my team didn't win the ball game. Football season's right around the corner. Y'all need to start preparing your heart. And you start fasting and praying. God, get me ready. Get me ready because I'm an Auburn fan and I know what that means. That means that I'm going to have some tribulations that are going to come this year and I need to be ready. I need to be prepared. I'm happy even when things don't go my way. I'm happy even though my candidate didn't win the presidency. Those things should not control whether I'm happy or not. If they do, it's not real happiness anyways. And so I want to live the blessed life. I want you to live the blessed life because if God is my God, then I won't give the devil the satisfaction of stealing my happiness just because things don't go my way. Because if he can, it's not true blessedness anyways. It's not true happiness anyways. Now, America is not, I said that we're lacking in America blessed people, happy people. We're not lacking wealth, but we are lacking blessing in America. And I want to show you the difference. You see, wealth doesn't equal blessing. So many people, you might look at a wealthy person and think, oh man, they're so blessed. They got everything they need. No, blessing is completely different than having wealth. Amen. Did you know that there's over 22 million millionaires in America? That baffled me. 22 million millionaires. You know what that means? That means that over 8% of the adult population in America are millionaires. That's an astounding number. Especially when you look at it in regards to other nations of the world. That means there's more people that are millionaires in America than Greece has people living in it. Okay? So we're extremely blessed. In fact, put up that the states. If you take the state populations of Alabama, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi, and you combine them, you get 22.45 million. So if we added every single person that lives in these five states together, that would be the amount of millionaires that are in America. Just to give you some perspective and realize how much wealth is actually in this nation. Now, in 2021, 2.5 million people in America became millionaires. Went from not being a millionaire to being a millionaire, 2.5. 42,939 people died in a car accident in the year of 2021. I'm not making light of this by any means. I'm just showing you something. That means that in this nation, you have better odds of becoming a millionaire than you do perishing in a car accident. That's how wealthy America actually is. 37 million people in this nation, though, are on antidepressant medicine. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody that's on anything today. That's not why I came here. I'm just showing you something. If that many people are on antidepressants, that's because that many people are feeling depressed or anxious in their spirit and in their soul, which shows me the wealth cannot combat the depression, the anxiety, the sadness, the hurt, and the pain. So I've come to realize that in America, we're full of funds, but we're void of value. There's money to go around. Like, look, it still is the land of opportunity. You can go out and you can make money. That's fine. If that's what you give yourself to, that's what you want to go after. But you know what we're lacking? You know why people get depressed? Because they don't know their value to God. They don't understand that the life that they're living actually matters and they can use it to help other people and to love other people and to make a difference. We're packed with prosperity, but we're impoverished of purpose. People are lacking purpose and we're drowning in dollars, but we're depleted of destiny. We've got to realize there is so much more to life than making money. You know why America, despite 8% of its adult population touting the title of millionaire, has a shortage of happy people? Because there's a blessing problem because there's an obedience problem. Yeah. Because blessing is always tied to obedience. And God's divine blessing is always tied to this right here. Amen. So if we want to live in blessing, we've got to get back to the Bible. Yeah. We've got to get back to what does God's word say? Because he gifted us with the Bible, which is a literal roadmap to blessing. The blessed life is printed on the inside of it, and people claim to read it, claim to believe it, but fail to see its power because of a lack of wholehearted obedience to it. It's like the scripture that my dad was talking about Tuesday night at Summer Hunger, where people are hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. And you might come to church and you hear the word of God, and then you go out and you wonder, where's the blessing? Why am I not happy? Why am I not fulfilled? Why am I not feeling the purpose that God, the preacher said, I have purpose. He said, I have destiny. Why don't I feel it? Because that blessing, that purpose, that provision is tied to doing the word of God. So I may not make many friends today, but hopefully if y'all will grab hold of this and realize the blessed life has very little to do with how much money I have. Right. Has very little to do with if things go my way. It has very little to do with my 401k, but I'm going to choose, despite life's tumultuous circumstances, and the path that I'm on is going to be the path that's less traveled. Everybody might not come with me. That's why I love that old hymn, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. I'm not worried about I want people to come with me because I want them to be blessed. I want them to know Jesus too. But their choice, their decision is not going to alter my decision. Yeah. I'm following Jesus no matter what. So what does the road less traveled look like? Well, look no further than Psalm chapter 24. I'm sorry, 84. Psalm 84. We're going to look at this, and I'm going to give you 7 things that blessed people do. Okay? Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You could read these and find them out for yourself. But my job, my goal is just to help you have a better understanding. I would encourage you to take notes of these things. If you want to live the road less traveled, how many of you would say, I want to be happy? I want to be blessed. Then you need to do these 7 things, because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. And that's the difference in being a hearer and being a doer, is that you don't just come in and I feel like a better person because I went to church this week and I was in the house of God and I threw a 20 in the offering when it passed by. No, that you would take this and that you would do the things that God's Word. Now, this isn't what I'm telling you to do. I didn't change anything that God's Word says. I'm just telling you what God's Word tells you to do if you want to be blessed. So let's be doers of the word. Look at your neighbor and say, be a doer.
Be a doer.
But as we heard Tuesday night, in order to be a doer, first you have to be a hearer. So let's start with listening. I used to always tell the students when I was a youth pastor, put your listening ears on. And I'm going to tell you guys today, put your listening ears on and let's hear what the word of God has to say. The number one thing that blessed people do, according to Psalm chapter 84, verse 4, is they dwell in the house of the Lord. Let's read verse 4 again. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Simple as that. That word dwell means continue. It also means this. It means to ease oneself. Now, when I think about that, that gave me a mental picture and it gave me an understanding that when you choose not just to be at church periodically, not just to attend church as a good person, but you choose to make his dwelling place your dwelling place, you don't have to find other ways to ease yourself. So many times the things that we give into that are fleshly in nature that end up making us feel condemned and feel wrong and feel guilty and feel dirty are because we got so stressed that we needed a way to ease ourselves. And so we gave into something that we knew was wrong, but we wanted a temporary fix that would make us feel better for a little bit, and then we end up feeling bad. We knew we shouldn't have partaken in that. We knew we shouldn't have looked at that. We knew we shouldn't have entertained that thought. We knew we shouldn't have tasted that, or whatever it was that led us down that road of later, we end up being like, why did I do the things that I don't want to do? Because you wanted a temporary fix and you were trying to ease yourself, but not realizing that in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So the things that you're trying to please yourself with, you can actually find true fulfillment and pleasure and satisfaction and joy if you'll say, you know what, wherever your dwelling place is, that's where my dwelling place is going to be. I'm going to make sure that when I am opening my eyes in the morning, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm getting in the word. I'm getting in prayer. I'm spending time with you. I'm not just doing it as a religious ordinance, but I'm doing it because I want to make your dwelling place my dwelling place. I've decided that I want to give my life to his purposes. Now, I understand life happens. I realize that things can be hectic, but when you're a person that dwells in the house of the Lord, you won't look for reasons to miss church. You won't look for, well, we got this and we got that. Maybe I'm just different. Maybe I'm weird. But if something comes up on Sunday, if someone says something about Sunday, I just say, I'm sorry, that's not an option for me. It's not an option. I've chosen, I'm going to be in church. Now, that is a conviction in my life. I'm not trying to force that on you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to put you down. I'm just telling you how I choose to live my life. You need to choose to live your life how you feel like honors God and is the best way that you can possibly live in keeping with His standard, His will, and His kingdom. But I've chosen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And part of serving God is saying, nothing comes above this. Nothing's more important to me than this. If I choose, whenever something trumps something, how many of y'all ever played spades? Man, I love a good game of spades. Don't you love spades? Spades is a great game. I haven't played in a long time. I'm going to have to find somebody I can beat and invite them over to my house just so I can play some spades. But I, you know what? I love playing spades, and I used to get in trouble for this when I was younger, because my brother and I would play against my mom and my dad. And I got not liking to be beat, honestly, from my dad. And there was nothing better than laying a trump card on my dad, you know? And it was like, am I still going to be living here when this game is over? Like, I need to, like, maybe I just save this one for later and play it on mom, you know what I mean? But it's like, there was nothing better than, like, we'd come up high and bam, we'd slam that trump card on the table and be like, take that. The ace of spades beats the jack of spades, baby. I mean, it got real. It got very real. Spankings were administered because of disrespect. No, I'm just kidding. There was actually never a spanking given over a game. I'm just kidding. But there's nothing like that. You know what that trump card says? This ranks higher than that, right? That's what it says. And when we choose with our time something above something else, we're saying, this has more value than that. And so that's why, to me, I've chosen nothing's going to keep me from church. Even if I go on vacation, I'm going to find a church to go to while I'm on vacation. That's the way I was raised. That's how I see it. I'm not condemning anybody. Like I said, if work makes you miss church because they said you have to be here, I'm not saying quit your job. That's not what I'm saying. There's times and there's places. In fact, the Bible says if you have an ox in the ditch, you need to go get the ox out of the ditch, okay? So I'm not being condemning. I'm not being legalistic. I'm just telling you how I've chosen to live my life. And I have seen blessing on my life because of how I've chosen to live in that way. Now, Psalm chapter 92, verse 13 says this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I share this scripture all the time. It's a promise. I share it to you for you, not for me. Listen, because I already told you, I'm going to be here whether you show up or not. Okay? We're going to be here either way. We're going to have church. I want you to show up because I want your life to flourish. Yes. I want your life to be blessed. I want your life to be prosperous and full and joyous. And I want to show you what this word flourish means so that you will understand I'm not condemning you. I'm not pressuring you. I want blessing for you. The word flourish means this: abundantly, blossom, break forth, and grow. So we could say this: those that are planted, not those that frequent or those that come in and then leave and are here a little bit. Listen, there's something about being planted in the house of the Lord. Okay? Those that are planted, they will live abundantly. Their lives will blossom. Their life will break forth and they're going to grow. That's the kind of blessing that I want for you and I want in my life. So I want to say this though. Don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself. Get planted in His house. Make His dwelling place your dwelling place. Make His presence a priority and see if it doesn't change your life for the better. Now notice, I didn't say see if your circumstances change. Getting planted in the house of the Lord doesn't say our circumstances are going to change. We're going to change. Yeah. We're going to change. We'll find out, you know what? I'm a better person. Things may not always work out better in my life, because it rains on the just and the unjust. Things still happen. Yeah. When I was talking about the dryer going out earlier, guess what? That was my dryer that went out. When I was talking about the plumbing backing up at 8:30 on Friday night, guess what? That was my plumbing that backed up at 8:30 on a Friday night, and I had standing water underneath my house this deep. Listen, things happen, but you know what? I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret about it. I can still be happy. I can still be joyful. I come to church every single Sunday. Guess what? My plumbing's still backed up. I come to church every single Wednesday. Guess what? My dryer still went out. It didn't change that, but you know what has changed over the years? Me. Yeah. I'm more patient. I'm more kind. I'm not bragging about all myself. I'm bragging on the house of God. Yeah. Bragging on His word, His covenant with His people. I'm more patient. I'm more hopeful. I'm more positive. I'm more happy. If you don't believe me, set a meeting with my wife. Go ask, have coffee and ask her on an honest woman to woman, is he more kind and happy now than he was when you married him? I'll put myself out there like that. I am. And guess what? She is too. And hopefully you are as well. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm talking to you about this is what a blessed life looks like. Yeah. Like, because happiness isn't based. If we base our happiness on what happens to us, we'll be miserable all the time.
Right.
Our happiness has to be based on, you know what? I'm going to find happiness and joy in him. That's why blessed people say, you know what? I'm going to dwell in the house of God. And in fact, the writer of this psalm, the sons of Korah, I don't know which one of them wrote it. I don't know how many sons he had. One of them wrote it. They weren't just telling us to do something that they wouldn't be willing to do. Because what was their first verse? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. They loved his house. They said down later, he said, a day in your courts, it's better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather stand and open the door for other people to come in than dwell. And actually, if you look up that word dwell, it means to live richly in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather just so I can be around his house. So that's the type of life that you and I should have. And when I talk about God, listen, I believe in the church house. I believe you can have church by yourself in your prayer closet. I believe you can have it in your car. I'm not trying to be like legalistic, but I think there's something that's precious about when the saints of God come together and we encourage one another and we hear the word together. So, number one, blessed people dwell in the house of the Lord. Number two, they praise continually. You remember what David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise shall continually be upon my mouth. Look at Psalm 84:4 again. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They, still talking about blessed people, will still be praising you. Not they'll start praising you. They'll keep praising. They'll still be praising. It leads me to think and believe that it's saying that even when things don't go their way, they're still praising. Even when things are not exactly how they imagined them, they're still going to be praising. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms? It says, you can go read Psalm chapter 8. It says that praise silences the enemy. So when the enemy comes at you and he begins to wreak havoc, you decide instead of going, well, I'm going to let it disrupt my praise, you take your praise to another level and you keep praying and you keep praising and you keep lifting your hands and you keep lifting your voice. And soon enough, the enemy will be silenced in your life. He won't have room to get in. Blessed people don't just praise on Sunday mornings. Blessed people don't just praise on Friday when they got paid and they filled up the gas tank and steaks on the grill and the Coca-Cola's cold because we're good Christian people and everything seems to be going right. Blessed people praise no matter what's going on in their life. They don't just praise them when also, see, there's a group of people, they only praise when everything's going good. There's another group of people, they only praise when everything's going bad. I remember there was a young man that I knew. And I hadn't seen him at church for a long time. And one Wednesday night, I come in. I hadn't seen this guy in months, maybe years. He'd kind of walked away from the Lord. And he's in the youth room serving, just like carrying chairs, restocking the cooler for the kids. Just in worship, he's just hands lifted, eyes closed. He gets on his knees, and I'm like, man. And I saw him meeting with my dad after church. My dad was a pastor. And I went in there after, and I said, either something real good or real bad's happened in his life, hasn't it? He said, yeah, it's pretty bad right now. And there's some people that they only run to God and start praising when everything's going bad because they want him to fix the problem.
Yeah.
But the true blessed people are the people that praise, and when things bad happen, they keep praising. And when God resolves it, they praise him for resolving it. And even if he doesn't resolve it, it makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king said, are you going to worship me? Are you going to bow before my golden image? They said, no, we don't even have to answer you in this matter. They said, our God can deliver us. But you know what? My favorite part of the whole story, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship you. We're only going to praise Him. We're not going to bow down to your idols. We're not going to bow down to your false way of doing things, because we're still praising. Even if you throw us in the furnace, we'll still be praising. Blessed people are people that are still praising. You want to know the secret to happiness? Everybody does. That's what everybody's after. Become a praiser. Lift your hands daily and declare His marvelous attributes. God, you're beautiful. You're loving. You're holy. You're kind. Still praise Him. Thank Him for your health. Praise Him for His faithfulness. Lift up your voice, even when you don't know what to say. Just say, you're good. I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank Him when you get paid. Give Him praise despite the difficulties that you're facing. At all times, praise the Lord. True praisers don't have a switch that flip on and off. Huh, my praise is on. Today, my praise, things went bad, my praise is off. Or things are going good, I don't really see my need for God, so I'm flipping the praise off. No, I praise Him at all times. You remember Job? Job, I've been reading through Job. Every time I read through Job, I wish I would have skipped it. Because it just starts to happen, right? It just starts to happen. You're just like, why didn't I just, I know what's coming. I know what's in there. Why didn't I just skip it? Because there's something He wants us to learn in the midst of it. Yeah. Because Job, His first servant comes up. Job, your oxen were raided. Your servants were killed. Only I alone escaped to tell you. Next one comes up while this guy's still talking. He doesn't even get like a reprieve, get your stuff together. There's more coming later. It's just like, while this guy's talking, another one comes up. Hey, your sheep were consumed with fire, and only I escaped to tell you. Next one comes up. Hey, your camels were raided. I was the only one that got away. One more comes up. Hey, all 10 of your children were partying together, and the house fell in on them, and they all died, and I'm the only one that got away. So only his wife and four servants are left of everything that he has. You know what the Bible says Job did? His first response, he fell to the ground and he worshiped. Why? Because truly blessed people are still praising Him despite the difficulty. Because our praise is not based upon our circumstances. If it is, then we're praising the circumstance, not God. And so we've got to be people that are still praising. In fact, that word still means all lifelong. That means you don't take a break. You don't take a vacation from praising. We praise at all times. Okay, that's number two. Number three, we're going to move through these somewhat quickly so we're not here until 1 o'clock. Number three, their strength is in God. You can't live a life of blessing unless God is the one sustaining you. God is the one that is leading you. Let's look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Now, this speaks to me of humility. Because blessing comes to those that admit they're not sufficient in and of themselves. My blessing isn't because of what I've done. It's not because of how holy I am, how many scriptures I can quote, how many prayers I can pray, how many times I've laid hands on somebody and prayed for them. No, blessing comes when I realize, it's like we were talking about Wednesday night. If you weren't here, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of what we talked about Wednesday night. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is God saying? What does Jesus mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit. If He wants us to be blessed, why is He telling us about being poor? Because He's not talking about physical blessing. He's actually not even talking about being bankrupt spiritually, because He gave us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He gave us life and life more abundantly. He gave us the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're not poor in spirit. We're not poor naturally. What does He mean? What He's talking about is the word poor is a picture word for a beggar. And the thing about a beggar is a beggar understands that everything that they have came from someone else. So what Jesus is saying is, blessed are the ones that realize anything that they have, naturally or spiritually, it came from me. They couldn't provide it for themselves. They couldn't earn it for themselves. And that's the same thing that the psalmist is saying here is, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, not in himself, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. That I'm blessed because I realize I don't have to sustain myself. Yeah. He's sustaining me. He's filling me. Blessing comes to those who admit they're not sufficient. David, think about David. Killed Goliath. He defeated the Philistines again and again and again. He was a mighty warrior. He was a man of valor. He did so many impressive things. But you know what he said in Psalm chapter 18, verse 1? I will love you, Lord, my strength. He realized that despite his natural vigor, he was nothing without the strength of the Lord. He'd killed lions, he'd killed bears, he killed a giant. And he said, my strength's in you. It's not in me. It's not in what I can do. My strength's in you. When we strive to do and to be in our own strength, you know what we're actually doing? We're actually robbing ourselves of the blessing of being able to walk in his strength. When we say, I'm going to be strong in and of myself. I'm going to walk in my own strength. I'm going to do it in my own ability. We're actually robbing ourselves of the ability to say, God, would you strengthen me today? Would you give me supernatural strength? Would you give me the ability that I don't have in and of myself? Because here's what we're missing out on, and we have to realize. Our strength is limited. There comes a point, no matter how much someone trains, no matter how many weights they lift, there comes to a point they can't lift anymore. Yeah. For some, it's 100 pounds. For some, it's 20. For some, it's 200 pounds. For some, it's 300 pounds. When you get into the squats, who knows what some of those guys are able. But there always comes a point for somebody that they can't pull it, they can't lift it, they can't do it. But this is talking about spiritually. And in your spirit, you're probably weaker than you are in your natural ability. But God says, my strength, which is perfect in the midst of your weakness. My strength, which is infinite and not finite or limited, you can walk in that kind of strength. And that's where blessing comes. Not when you try to do it in your own ability. So your power is limited. God's strength is endless. You decide which one do you want to walk in. You want to walk in your strength, or do you want to walk in God's strength? Blessed people are people that choose, you know what? My strength's in you. It's not in me. It's not in what I can do. The fourth thing that blessed people do is they have vision. You may say, well, how do you say that? Well, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, the word pilgrimage means pathway or highway, and the psalmist is explaining that the blessed person is going somewhere. They're on a journey. Now, when you're going somewhere, you have a destination in mind. You have a vision ahead of you, and you're like, this is where I'm going. This is where I want to get to. So that means that blessed people aren't lazy, aren't idle, but they have a destination in mind. But this language also leads to the point that the pilgrim has not yet reached their destination, lending us this reconciliation, that blessing doesn't wait at the end of the road. It accompanies us on the journey. That's one thing we have to realize, is God isn't like dangling a carrot in front of us saying, if you get here, I'll bless you. He's saying, blessed is the one whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That even as you're walking through this life and you're on the road less traveled, I'll be with you every step of the way. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be right there with you. In fact, the book of Isaiah says, he will lead us by the hand. We can hear his voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We don't have to wait to the end of the journey to get the blessing. The blessing is with us every single step of the way because we have a vision, and vision doesn't come from just a good idea. It comes from God. Yeah. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint or the people perish. We need to be people of vision. If you want to be blessed, because listen to this, provision is always linked to vision. If God gives you a vision, he'll give you the provision that you need to fulfill the vision. Because the word pro means towards or for. And so God's provision is always for the vision that he has for your life, but he is not obligated to fund your ridiculous ideas. But if it's his vision, if it's his goal, he'll give the provision. And so as we have vision from God, then we can have the blessing of God to have what we need to fulfill his will for our life. So as long as you remain in step with his will, allowing his word to light your path, guess what? Blessing will follow you. Blessing will be right there with you every step of the way. So my encouragement is get God's vision for your life and follow it wholeheartedly. Because if you do that, blessing will be there with you every step of the journey. The fifth thing that blessed people do is they make a difference. In fact, if you're blessed and you don't turn that blessing into a blessing for somebody else, then you've missed the whole point entirely. And it reminds me of a parable that Jesus told where there was a man that owed him a bunch of money, the king. He brought him in. He forgave him. What did he do? He went out and he began to shake his buddy down for the money that he owed him. What did the king do? Bring him back in here. deliver him to the torturers. I forgave you. Why did you not forgive him? So what, we can void ourselves of blessing when we don't turn the blessing that God gave us into a blessing for somebody else. Look at verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers its pools. Now, this so-called Valley of Baca was most likely a literal place near Bethlehem, which is the real Valley of Rephaim. And it is known to be dry and very difficult to traverse through. Very difficult to maneuver through. It wasn't a fun place to travel. In fact, Pastor Jeff and Shane and I were talking earlier, and if you've ever gone to Columbus, Georgia, you will know there's not a good way to get there. Okay? Some of y'all have done it before. You know, if you try to go to Columbus, if you go five times, you'll go five different ways. And you'll wonder, which one is the best? None of them are good. None of them. They're all bad. There's just not a good way to get there. Why? And that's kind of what this valley was like, is it was a place that it was just difficult to get through. And they, so much so that they called it the Valley of Baca. That word Baca in the Hebrew means weep or weeping. So they passed through the valley of weeping. It was so difficult. It was so dry. It was so awful to go through that people would just weep when they walked through it. It was that bad. Man, they were dramatic, weren't they? So they called it the valley of weeping. But you know what the psalmist says? He says, when we walk through the valley of weeping, when torment and pain and destruction and heartache begin to come our way, guess what? It doesn't overtake us even though it tries. In fact, it changes instead of us changing. It doesn't overwhelm us. We overtake it. The Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping, becomes a spring. Now, we don't understand this in our culture today, but to them a spring was a source of life. Because you see, you walk into your kitchen, you turn on the water, it turns on. You have all the water you could ever want, all the water you could ever need. For them, they didn't have indoor plumbing, so they built their life around fresh water. And when you were journeying somewhere, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was a reprieve to find a spring. Yeah. Somewhere that you could refresh yourself. You could get a cold drink of water. Because listen, they weren't riding in a Lexus with leather seats, power windows, air conditioning, and an aux cable. Their donkeys were not equipped with those things. Or if they were on their feet, they weren't walking on brooks and on clouds. They were on sandals through rocky soil with dirt caked all up in between their toes. And how nice would it be to be like, oh my goodness, a spring. That'd be amazing if you were journeying, right? Like we just pull into Buc-ee's or whatever and get whatever we need. The life is totally different for them. And what the psalmist is saying is when people that are blessed walk through the valley of weeping, by the time they get through it, it's a blessing to somebody else. It's a spring. It's refreshing. What was dry and difficult is now a source of life, source of hope, source of peace. So that means that when you're a blessed person, when you go into work, the atmosphere should shift. The atmosphere, I want you to hear this, and I know it's easy for me to say because I don't work in a secular atmosphere, but I'm still going to say this because I believe it to be true. When you walk into that atmosphere at work, it shouldn't affect you as much as you affect it. It may be a valley of weeping that you clock into, but when you leave, it can be a spring of life. Your coworkers, they have joy. They have peace. They have hope that they didn't have before. Why? Because you clocked into the valley of weeping, but by the time you left, people are like, ooh, it feels a lot better in here. Why? Because you're a blessed person. You're happy. Even when things aren't going the way that you want them to go, you still decide, I'm a person of blessing, and I'm walking through the valley of weeping, but when I leave, it's going to be a spring. When you're blessed, it'll affect your home. It'll affect your job, your church, your community, because as God blesses us, we turn it into a blessing for other people. Amen? All right, the sixth thing that blessed people do, I'm trying to get through these quickly. They never stop growing. Look at verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Blessed people don't get complacent. We're content, but we're not complacent. Yeah. Where do I get that from? Because the Bible says in the book of Galatians, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's one thing to be content and I'm fulfilled by God, but being content, being complacent are two different things. I'm not complacent in where I am, who I am. I'm constantly growing. I'm going from strength to strength. Blessed people don't think, well, you know what? I'm stronger than I used to be. I'm better than I used to be. I guess this is okay because, you know, I used to yell and scream at my wife, but I don't anymore. Well, how about you go from strength to strength and now you start complimenting your wife? You start being encouraging. You start being supportive. You start being loving. You start being kind. Blessed people don't just go, well, I've gotten better at that thing than I used to be at it, and so I guess I'm good there. No, blessed people keep growing. They go from strength to strength. I don't want to stop growing. Why? Because in the kingdom, you can only go two directions, forward or backwards. There is no sitting still. There is no stopping right here. It's I'm going and I'm following God and I'm leading my life in such a way that as I follow him and he blesses me, I'm going to continue to grow. So blessed people don't hit cruise. They continually pursue and obey God continually every single day. Amen. Number seven. I told you I was going to go through these quickly, these last two. Blessed people, they trust in God. They don't trust in anything else. Psalm 84:12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. That word trust means put confidence in. It means hope. And I love this, careless one. The man is careless who puts his hope in God. When your confidence is in God, listen, you know why you can be a careless one? Because the blessed person is blessed because he's equipped with a knowledge that every care that comes his way, he can cast upon the one who cares for him. So when things come, the other night when I was talking last Sunday night, remember the analogy of the tennis balls that I was catching? Well, I forgot to do this. I should have had Logan throw me at him again. And next time, instead of catching them, just swat them away. Because I don't have to take care of it. Because he's going to take care of it. I don't have to receive it into my life. I just go, you know what? I can cast all my cares upon him. Why? Because I know that he cares for me. That's what trusting God looks like. But you know what? He's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Doesn't mean I won't pray about it. Doesn't mean I don't have to think about it, but I don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
I don't have to allow it to drag me down. I'm blessed because I know I can cast all my cares on him. My trust is in the Lord and on the Lord alone. I'm happy because I know I can be confident and I can be sure he's going to take care of me. No matter what comes my way. No matter how bad the economy gets, guess what? I'm going to be fine. No matter what the world looks like 5 years from now, I don't have to worry. Some people are worried not about themselves, but about their children. What kind of world are my children going to live in? As long as I teach my children to trust God, they will be just fine.
Amen.
And if I doubt that, then I'm not doubting them. I'm not doubting me. I'm doubting him.
That's right.
I believe God is able to sustain me no matter what. If he can feed Elijah with ravens, bring bread to him in the midst of a drought beside the little brook, then guess what? God can take care of me. He can feed me. He can clothe me. And so I know that I can trust in God no matter what, and that's what blessed people do. Blessed people don't have everything they need. They know God will get them everything that they need.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you'll never be in a place where you're wondering where it's going to come from, but it means that no matter what you're facing, it will come.
Yeah.
He'll take care of me. I can trust in him, and I'll trust in him completely. So here's a recipe for blessing. You ready? Dwell in his house. Praise him continually. Make God your strength. Have vision. Make a difference. Never stop growing. Trust in God. When you're blessed, that's what you'll do. When you do that, you'll continue to be blessed. Can you stand to your feet with me today? I'm going to speak a different blessing over you today than we normally do. I want to read these blessings over you out of the book of Deuteronomy that God says to those who will obey him. And so if you want to receive these, would you just lift your hand today? Now it shall come to pass. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, so that you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. Father, we declare today our trust is completely in you. We don't look to man. We don't look to anywhere else, but our strength is in you. We love your house. We love your dwelling place, God. We want to make a difference. God, all these things that we talked about, I just speak blessing upon blessing upon blessing over your people today. Your version of blessing, your definition of blessing, not what culture has taught us blessing is, but what the kingdom says blessing is, what the word says blessing is. And I speak that over your children today. I thank you that you long and love to give good gifts to your children. And today we receive them in Jesus' name. And if you believe that and receive it, can you say amen? Amen. 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 God bless you today. Go with God. We love you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great week.